Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you of your word which speaks the truth. We want to thank you also, Lord, for the facilities that we have where we can gather and meet together to worship you. And we want to thank you for the freedom that we have to worship you. Father, as we have heard in this reading, we kind of ask the Holy Spirit to open our inner ears right now so that we can hear what you are going to say to us. Father, we want to thank you again for this beautiful day. Help us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, we delighted to be back home. We have been in the wonderland, but we are here to stay. And we are here to worship together. I remember sometimes when I was growing up, I used to like make items using wood. I'm a carpenter, but not by profession, but just a hobby. I used to like to make coffee tables, chairs, anything else. I remember the other time I made a sewing table for my wife where she could put her sewing items in there. But when I was constructing these items, there's always a time when I could say, if I'm using another chisel, it wouldn't please me the way I want to chop those mortises or paving or clearing something, I would sideline that chisel and look for another one to do a perfect job. Then when I've done that, I'm happy my job is well done because I've used the tool that I think this tool will give me exactly the finished product that I want. The story that we have read today has prompted me to say my theme of my sermon is true spiritual vision. I will repeat that again. True spiritual vision. Those of you who have studied literature, the moment I read that story, you picked one or two items in that story that you said, hold on a minute, something is wrong here. If you didn't pick it up, I will try my best to elaborate what it is that made me. As I told you some time back, I said, Mark is my favorite book in the Bible, but I've never preached in it. I only started this time with you. But this story, I have heard it several times. But there are things there that leaves every Christian saying, hold on a minute, something is amiss here, or someone wrote this wrongly. No, it wasn't written wrongly. There is a hint there that we are going to learn this morning. Sometimes our minds are confused when we read this story. But if you sit down and compare the two stories, that's why I brought those two stories together. Some preachers will have picked the first story I read about the blind man alone and the one about the disciples on its own. But I put them together so that you can pick that point, which prompted me to pick my theme as true spiritual vision. So this morning, we are going to learn something in here. It's about seeing clearly. Do you remember that old song that which used to go like, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. Yes? So it's the clear seeing that I want you to understand this morning. You need to see clearly what this text is saying to us. So this morning, there are three things we are going to that are going to help us to see clearly. One, we want to see clearly who Jesus is. Amen? The second item is, we want to see what Jesus came to do. And the third thing is, we want to see clearly how Jesus wants us to follow him. So those three things, as I go along, listen to that. You remember, at the beginning of this book, we are told why this book was written. you remember, Mark, as he starts, that's the first thing he tells you. This book is about ... If you also go to John chapter 20, 31, which I read as my welcoming verse this morning, it tells you also about this Jesus. So already, bit by bit, we are starting to answer those questions. Who Jesus is, what Jesus came to do, how Jesus wants us to follow him. So we are going to learn about who, what, and how. In our following Jesus, Mark this morning is reminding us we have been together with Jesus from chapter 1. Now we are in chapter 8. But still, we are blind. Amen? A lot of people are blind. Not the congregation alone. The disciples, they are blind up to this time with Jesus. You will hear as we go along. If you remember a few weeks ago in chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus said this. He asked his disciples this question. Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? If you remember that verse. So, it is showing that the disciples are blind. They hear, but they don't understand. They are not alone. We are too also in that predicament. We hear, but we don't understand. We see, but with a cloud in front of us. There is no clear vision. So that is why Mark has brought this in this chapter today. That we might understand. We might see clearly. And others might have a spiritual clear vision without a cloud in front of them. Let's go to the healing of the blind man. We are told some other men brought a blind man to Jesus. But before I explain the story of the blind man, I want you to understand the scenarios between the two stories. The blind man didn't have a clear vision. He couldn't see. Jesus pulls him out on his own. The disciples also, if you heard the story, Jesus went to Caesarea and Philippi, away from the crowd. So do you see the similarity here? Is the pulling away from the crowd. The disciples were pulled away because they were spiritually blind. The blind man is being pulled aside by Jesus because his sight is blurred. You can't see. So the other one is truly blind. The others are spiritually blind. So Jesus is pulling them aside, away from the public. So let's go back now to the blind man. We are told some people brought this blind man to Jesus. Jesus has got a system that he uses. This is not the first time he has done it. He uses his spit and puts it on this man's eyes. And the man, Jesus asks him, "What do you see?" The man says, "He sees people, but they look like trees walking around." Those of you who have studied literature, already the way the man is talking here can tell you this man had sight sometime. Am I right? If I'm wrong, correct me. But because if he was born blind like the man in John chapter 9, the one in John chapter 9 doesn't explain about how items or objects look like. But this one explains that I see men walking like trees. Maybe it's only me who picked that. But as we were reading, did you hear that? The man said, I see men walking around. They look like trees. Then Jesus puts his hands on the man's eyes for the second time. And this time, he can see clearly. What I want to let you know this morning is that Jesus can raise people from the dead and can make them the lame walk, cast out demons, make the deaf hear, and mute speak. Wouldn't you think Jesus can easily make this blind man see? Why is it being repeated? This is the only miracle that Jesus repeats when it doesn't work. So this is why I said to you when I read this story, you should have said, hold on a minute, something is wrong here. Jesus doesn't repeat a miracle. Once he touches you, it works. But on this one, he does it two times. Why is it being done two times? Did you ask yourself that question? The answer is here. He wants to show that we are blind. We need this spiritual vision. The disciples also were blind. He wanted them to see who Jesus is. Amen. So this man is saying, I can see trees walking around. How can trees walk? So Jesus, by saying this to this man, he answered that question this way. Jesus heals in this way because he wants to teach us something. Sometimes people can be completely blind, not knowing Jesus. Some people can be coming to church the rest of their life, but they haven't grasped what it means to be completely in Jesus. You need to surrender all. You remember earlier on I said, it's not half or bits. Completely surrendering all to Jesus. Give it to all to Jesus. This is what Jesus wants this morning. He wants us to understand that he stands for that. Surrendering to him. Are you prepared this morning to surrender all to Jesus? This blind man who was brought by others to Jesus, they surrendered him to Jesus. Said, no, we want this man to see. The blind man didn't speak. It was his friends. So are we surrendering ourselves in that situation as well? Everything to Jesus wholeheartedly. That takes away our blindness. If we surrender all. But if we surrender bits or half or three quarters, we are still blind. We need to surrender all to Jesus. By performing this healing, Jesus wants the man to see clearly. So this morning, Jesus also wants you to see clearly. No blurred vision. No. We want to see clearly. I can see clear now. The rain is gone. This is why Jesus is here this morning. He has seen that we are blind as we are walking. We need a walking stick. I think you've seen a blind man walking with a walking stick painted white. If you see that stick, someone hobbling with a stick, you know that person is a blind person. So you give way or you help them. But Jesus is saying this morning, I don't want you to use a stick. I want you to use your eyes that God gave you. So Jesus wants us to see clearly. But here is another thing. The disciples are still blind too. Spiritually, they don't even know who Jesus is. When we come to this text, if we look on verse 27, it tells us something. Jesus is asking his disciples because they are spiritually blind. But if we go to that text and look on verse 27, what does Jesus say to his disciples? We've already finished with the blind man now. The blind man has received his sight because he was blind. Jesus has touched him. He can now see. So if you are also partially blind, we ask Jesus to touch you this morning so that you can see clearly who he is, why he came, how he wants us to follow him. We are now on the issue of the disciples who are spiritually blind. Listen to this verse. Jesus and his disciples went to villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? Who do people say I am? Listen to the disciples. That's why I said they are spiritually blind. Listen to their reply. Some of them replied this way. Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Peter, who is always the group leader of the disciples, speaks up. Yes, Peter hit the nail on the head. He said, Christ, the Messiah. This is who Christ is. Christ is the Messiah. But did Peter really knew what he was saying? What about the other disciples? Why were they quiet? Why didn't we have a chorus answer when Jesus asked that question? You see where I say spiritual blindness. They were following Jesus. I think he was in his third year with them now. But still they were confused. It's only Peter who speaks up. But Peter also, it will come back to him. Isn't they say, chickens come home to what? To roost. Yes. It's coming to catch up with Peter as well. We'll find out as we go along. Just to prove the point that Peter doesn't really understand what he has just said. Peter sees, but his vision is blurred. He doesn't see clearly. Christ wants him to see clearly. So how do we get this seeing clearly? You remember when I read the text, I ended on verse 34. Now we are going to continue our reading. What has Jesus come to do? Our question is going to be answered here. It says, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by elders, the chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan. This is the only verse in the Bible where Jesus uses such harsh words to Peter. Now you remember when I said Peter is also spiritually blind. He had actually said Jesus, the Messiah. But did he really mean it? Or did he really knew what he was saying? Here Jesus is telling him. Because if he knew what Jesus had come to do, if he really knew who Jesus was, he was not going to say the words that he had just said. Trying to block Jesus to go to the cross. Once you do that, there's no salvation. Amen. Once you block Jesus to go to the cross, you are defeating everything. Jesus came to die for us on the cross. But Peter is here to block Jesus. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Wow, shame for Peter. So he was also spiritually blind. Not only him and his other colleagues. They were blind too. But Jesus now is bringing that spiritual vision to all of them, including us this morning. The spiritual vision is being opened. Jesus doesn't want us to see with a blurry in front of us. He wants to take out that cloud which is in front of us. But sometimes we get carried away. We think we know it all. We are work in progress. It's only Jesus who knows it all. You see, Peter thought he knew it all. You are the Christ. And Jesus said, yes. But Peter didn't know all. There were some other things that he wanted to learn too. Who is Christ? What has he come to do? And how should we follow him? Christ gives a warning also in the book of Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, 12. He says to those who want to make themselves great, God will reduce them. But for those who humble themselves, God will make them great. Hallelujah. So it is the same with us as well. We need to humble ourselves and God will lift us high. But not for us to make ourselves great. Because this gospel, the word of the Lord, is difficult to understand. And it takes time. Throughout our lives, we need to learn this word of the Lord. Because it's not ours. It's from our Father. That's why we want to learn every now and then. So, what Jesus came to do? He came to die for our sins on the cross. He wants to take the blurry in our eyes so that we can see clearly. Not seeing men walking around as trees. Since when did trees started walking? I don't think trees walk. I remember when I was young, when I first went on a bus, that was the first excitement that excited me. As the bus was moving around, I could see trees running away from the bus. That's the only time I remember to say trees were running. But they were not actually running. It was the bus which was running away from the trees, moving away from the trees. But this blind man, he says, I can see trees. They look like men walking around. Trees don't walk. Then as we carry on, the disciples now have got their spiritual vision which has been brought by Christ. Christ has told them why he has come. Through Peter, who wanted to block him, Christ came to die for our sins. Okay? Then listen. This happens. The Bible says in verse 34, if you are with me there, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, get this right. He called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said this, if anyone would want to come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. What does it mean to deny oneself? Forgo all worldly pleasures. Forgo all good things and say, I want to follow you, Christ. Amen. It's difficult today in our world we live in. It's truly difficult. If I would say, Jania, please sell all that you have and come and follow me. That is difficult. Tony, I'll say, quit your job and come and do the kingdom work. Mike Trett, sell your house and forget your family and come and follow me. You see how difficult it is? Straight away as I'm speaking these words, there is 24-hour debate going in your mind. Where do I start? Am I going to leave Helen alone? How are we going to pay our bills? Now, if I leave Barbara, where are we going to live? Already, your brain is... But you remember... That hymn that we sang, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. So denying oneself is really difficult. It's really difficult. But listen, that blind man who was brought by his friends, he did one thing that Jesus asked him. He said, what do you see? After Jesus touched him for the second time. He did one thing and three things happened in that thing. He looked intently and was restored and he could see. Just in one thing, he looked intently, he was restored and he saw clearly. So this morning Jesus wants you to see clearly. He wants to take the blurry in front of you. He wants you to see. He wants you to know why he came, what he did, and how to follow him. To see clearly is when you follow Jesus wholeheartedly. This means to deny ourselves. If you don't deny yourself, so you're not seeing clearly. There's a cloud in front of you. You can't see clearly. But if you want to see clearly who Jesus is, what he came to do, and how we should follow him, you need to deny yourself. Hallelujah. Yes, if you don't deny yourself, then you are in a difficult situation. I know this bit is very difficult. But imagine the disciples who walked with Jesus 3 years, seeing how he performed his miracles. They also copied him. They were doing the same thing. I remember in the book of Acts, the young man who fell from the building and he died. And he was prayed for. And he came back to life. So the disciples had learned how to do it from Jesus. But now, here's the trick thing. They still had spiritual blindness until this time when Jesus now opened and gave them that vision that this is why he came. Don't worry, Peter, about blocking me to go to the cross. This is why my Father sent me. I came here to come and die for you. But the disciples still, they are confused, Lord. When Jesus was going to the cross, not even one of them was with Jesus. They all took off. So they still didn't get it. They ran away. When Jesus, this is the most time in Jesus' life when he needed them to stand with him. But they all ran away. Do we run away in the time of need when we are needed in the work of the kingdom? We need to deny ourselves and stand for the kingdom. Some of you know that I used to work in the hospital. Sometimes I could pick these X-ray films left around, and I could alert the staff because I had no clue. You just look at that picture there. You see those bones or ribs on the eye. I couldn't even understand what they stand for. But the medical people, they really know. If they look at that chart, the X-ray chart, they can pick what is needed to be done. If it's a broken bone, they will see it. So this is exactly also with Jesus this morning. He is looking like looking at X-ray, explaining to us why he came, how we should follow him, what should happen to him. So the other idea is we must keep on growing. It doesn't mean to say you have become a church member, so it's time to relax. It's the beginning of something. We need to grow in wisdom. We need to grow in all the things that we do. Like the blind man. He wanted to see clearly. We also want to see clearly. The disciples also want to see clearly. Their spiritual vision must be enlightened. We should never assume that we've got it all. Let us learn from this. We still need to be humble enough to realize that now we see poor reflection like in a mirror. The time will come when we will see Jesus. This is then when we realize we can now see clearly when we see him eye to eye. I want to leave this reading to you in John 1, 3, verse 1 to 3. I will read. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be was not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. This is what it is. Until then, we should remain humble enough to recognize that there are things to be done. There is still work in progress. As the apostles did not fully understand what Jesus came to do, we need to be patient so that we understand why Jesus came, why he was doing all these things. We don't need to stop him as Peter tried to do. When I started this sermon, I asked you three questions. I said, do you clearly see who Jesus is? The second question was, what Jesus came to do? And the third one was, how Jesus wants us to follow him. Jesus came to die for us. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. Jesus Christ said, we must deny him so that we can follow him. Those three things, they look simple, but we need to sacrifice ourselves. Now, if you think you still have that blurry in front of you, we'll pray for you so that you see clearly. Do you want to see where you are having struggles in your life? Ask for prayer. We'll pray for you. Are you ready to hear why things are difficult in your life? You need the truth, and only the truth that comes from Jesus. What does it really mean to deny yourself? Do you understand that statement? Deny yourself. What does it mean? Are you ready to understand what it means to deny yourself? Jesus asked the blind man, what do you see? And he said he saw trees walking around. Mark's book is about telling us who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let us pray together. Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the book of Mark, which has revealed to us who Jesus Christ is, what he came to do, and how he wants us to follow him. We want to thank you, Lord, for taking that and clear vision in front of us, for bringing the spiritual vision in our lives. As we pray this morning, we are kindly asking for self-denial. We are asking for selfishness. We are asking for your grace. We are asking for your mercy. We are asking for your love. We are asking for your forgiveness and generosity. Lord, we ask you to help us. We pray and ask for all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and he opened our eyes. He opened and gave us spiritual vision on that day when he called the disciples aside. On that day when he called the blind men aside. Now we can see through your word, Father. We want to thank you. Amen. We will stand up together and sing our closing hymn, All to Jesus.